Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, the very first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. Let's begin reading at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I want to talk to you this morning about seeing God's head. We have been endeavoring to discuss a theme, so to speak, of seeing God. And I have said, and I believe you recognize this, that most of our problems would go away if we could only see God. And certainly our humanness reminds us of the scriptures that say that God is a spirit and no man can see God and live. Yet it is so clear that we are to see God. We see God by faith. And here in this scripture is a very testament of where the invisible God comes visible in Jesus Christ our Lord. Isaiah 45, verse 22 says this, "Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Now, would God say that if he didn't intend for us to see him? We have talked about God's heart and God's hand in our lives, but I want to talk this morning about God's head. And God's thinking about God's head might seem a little bit obscure in a way, a little bit distant. But you know, really, the head is the beauty of the body. The head is where all the decisions are made. The head is what gives identity to the body. And so, when we think about God's head, we really think about God as the head. Do you see God as the head of all things today in your life? You ought to, because that's the way it is. That he is head, that he is in charge of everything. Did you know that God is running this country, not Donald Trump? Did you know that God is more supreme than the Supreme Court? He is. Did you know that the deacons don't run this church? Did you know that the preacher is not the CEO? We are God's servants because God is the head. And you know what? We would be so much at ease and peace if we just understood that in a more meaningful way. That if we really just submitted all of our decisions to God. Well, what about free will? What about it? I don't frankly believe there's anything such as free will. I believe that everybody is either a child of God or a child of the devil. And what we need to understand is we're slaves to sin, according to Romans 6, or we have been made slaves to righteousness. See, the head is what makes the decisions. See, your salvation and mine is not a decision that you make. It's not. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. So sometimes when we wonder why things are happening like they are in our lives, we need to be reminded that God is the head. And we need to see His head and Him as head of it all, whether it's things we like or things we don't like. He is the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys. I told you, Melanie, you could do that. And it was beautiful. When I think about God's head, I want us to understand that, first of all, I want to think about sort of a slogan that's somewhat slangful, and it says, heads up. You ever heard that? Heads up. It's used a lot in the sports world, but it has to do with be aware, something's going to happen. It's maybe a warning. Be ready. And so when we look at this Bible verses that we're reading, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, the Colossian church had some issues with heresies. The heresy was, who is Jesus? And that is still a question that we must answer every day. And we need to see Christ as God's head. We need to see Christ as the head of our lives and the head of our church. Christ is the head of all things, and we see that. I don't see how we could get any more clearer than what the apostle has said through description to the Colossian church. But what they wondered was about Christ. Is He a created being? And there's a verse that I just read, the Jehovah Witness is love. And it implies that Christ is a created being. You heard me when I read it. But Christ existed before He was born through the Virgin Mary. And so they believe that because it said He was a creator, the firstborn in the creation, that he was a creature. Christ has never been a creature. He is the one that created all things. But what we have to understand is this. We have to understand that Jesus Christ is the head, and we need to have a heads up idea of Christ. And we need to be able to embrace the gifts that God gives us. Salvation is certainly the premium one, but the Bible says in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above, where there's no variableness or shadow of turning. And we need to embrace that as a gift from God. And we need to see God in all these gifts He's given us. And that's what life is about. It's about embracing God and seeing Him, even in the midst of our struggles. And to have an heads-up attitude that God, it's You, and You're in charge of this. A good example of that, the other day I was visiting the Hall family in Savannah, and we were sitting there on the second floor in the Hart and Calf building where Clint is in ICU. And I was sitting there in the waiting room with Rachel and her mother, and Clint's mother and father. And Rachel said, just volunteered, says, you know, Brother Randy, I have such a peace. Even in the midst of this, God has given me peace. Do you have peace in your life this morning? Maybe you need to embrace God as your head. I had a man ask me just this week, can you have peace with God and not peace with yourself? And he was struggling because he was facing the reality of some of the sins in his life. And he says, I know that Christ forgave me of my sins and I have a peace with God, but I can't have any peace with myself. But see, understanding God is the head gives us peace not only with God, but with ourselves. See, because what freedom is this? Freedom is doing what you want to do, and that being exactly what God's will is. That's what freedom is. And that's what we have in Christ, and that's why he's the head, and we need to have an heads-up attitude. Embrace the truth of the Scripture, that it all comes from God. This whole book called the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And you know, these verses, verse 15 through 20 of the first chapter of Colossians, I believe are some of the most powerful that's written by the Holy Spirit, describing who Jesus is, what he is about, that he is preeminent, he is all, and the quicker we can grasp that, the better we're going to have a handle on living this life. And the peace and the joy, even in the midst of the trials and hardships and hurt that we face, to have a heads up and understand it's coming from God. Something's about to happen in your life. I can say that. I'm not God, but I can say that. But I'm going to tell you, God is doing something all the time. And I want you to understand that when it comes, as it comes from God. And sometimes we don't like it and we don't understand it. But the invisible God, the incomprehensible God through Christ, shows us who he is and what he's about. The disciples had a problem with seeing God. And you remember in John 14, they asked the disciples, show us the Father. To which Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God's like? What was Jesus like? And Christ not only is our Savior and existed before creation even, he is a man of history. He actually existed in this life bodily as the God-man, the head of all things. I also want us to think about the idea of seeing God's head is a head count. You know, when you count somebody's head, you're counting their body. Notice what it says here in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. See, God deals with his people figuratively and as collectively, not individually. Now, angels were dealt with individually, as I understand, but people, you take Adam, for example. Adam is the federal head of all humanity. And when Adam sinned, all of us sinned. Everybody in his posterity, that's everybody. So in a sense, he's our federal head. In Romans 5, we see God breaking that down for us where we understand it. See, when God sees the church, he sees Christ, because Christ is the head of the church. And so Christ is the second man, Adam. So the ones Christ died for are the ones that God has chosen and give to him to die for. And God counted them righteous, you and I, not because of something we've done, but because of what Christ has done. You see, that's what God counts. And we need to trust that and believe that. And that's where the faith, and that's where the freedom and that's where the joy and satisfaction of living in this poor and sinful world comes for the believer. And to understand that all of creation, I mean the natural world, should show us God's head in a sense, and that it's all from Him. Every square inch of this earth is God's. Every square inch. He holds it together. Not only does He create it, or did He create it, He sustains it. He does. And He's a God of numbers. I was reading where someone said, some scientist that applied it to Scripture, that God, there's as many stars. And He says He's numbered the stars. He tells us the stars, the Scripture says. As there are sands of the sea of all the shores in the world. Can you and I fathom that? I can't. That's how big God is. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you can see God as big, your problem is going to get a whole lot smaller. We need to see big when we see God. We need to see God as the head. We need to see what Jesus says, that He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. What a blessing. To understand that God is the head. He's even the head of all our decisions. The head makes the decisions, doesn't it? It does. Those people you and I would like to change, our loved ones, and we'd like them to do different, we can't do it. God does it. See? What a joy to think about this. It ought to be something that would impress us more and more and relieve us. You know, either we can worry or we can embrace God as the head. You know, let God decide when we're going to die. He already knows it. We had nothing to do with our birth, did we? Not a thing. God did. See, God's the head of the church. It's His church. He controls it. What does He control? How does He do it? What is taught here? Now, when I say church, let me ask you this, and let's say this. What is the church? The church is an assembly of people that God has called to serve Him, that He has made holy by the blood of His precious Son. That's what the church is. Some of the church is in heaven right now. Some of the church is here. Some of the church sits in pews. But lots of people, at least some of the people that accept, so-called accept Jesus and join the church, are not really Christians. The only way you're going to know that is Christ your head. It's just like the vine and the branch. If the vine is the source of the life of the branch, then when that vine is attached, it's going to bear fruit. It's going to bear fruit. Because why? Of the head. The head source. That's Christ. So when we think about God's head, I want us to think about God being over all. He is in charge. I want us to think about God. We have a heads up attitude. That whenever you face, you understand that it's coming from God. And we need to be like Job when he lost everything he had. He saw God's head because, you remember his wife said, well, why don't you just curse God and die, given all this has happened to you? He said, you act like a fool. Do you mean to say that I'm to accept the good things from God and not the bad things? See, when you understand that it's God, you understand this. That God is conforming us to the image of His precious Son. Right? That's what Romans 8:29 says. See, Christ is the image of God. We see this here. So God is doing that. Why? Because we were created, all of us, in the image of God. But Adam's sin marred that image, morally and spiritually. And so the reason we need to see God as a head is, it's not that people are unchurched. It's the fact that people are dead spiritually. It's not about trying to sell the gospel. It's about of having a feeling that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that only He can meet that need. I mean, that's how it has to be connected. And when God, the head, the source, saved us by His grace, He does not put us in a neutral mode so we can choose, we can do this or that. No, no. God vitalizes us by His Holy Spirit. And we, like the Apostle Paul, see the hand of God when he was struck down the road to Damascus. Lord, what would thou have me to do? See? Then lastly, I think about God's head. Not only from the aspects of seeing God's head, having a heads up about it, and everything we do and say, whatever comes to us, but also we have understanding of a head count, that God is Christ. It's what matters to God. That's what He's counting. It's not your works, what you've done or haven't done. It's what Christ has done. Your sins have been paid fully. You don't have to keep the payments up. It is all in God, see? But lastly, because of that, we can head on. What I mean by that is we can meet our problems head on. You don't have to sweep your failures. You don't have to sweep your disappointments under the rug. You don't have to worry and have stress and wonder if you're going to make it. You got to trust God. And when you trust Him, you trust Him with everything. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence? That's Christ. That's first place. So in a sense, how are we going to head on? How are we going to meet life head on? We got to have God's head. What good would a church be, a life be, if it didn't have a head? I mentioned the church and Christ being the head of the church. Has all to do with doctrine and what church teaches. Because it's not up to man to make that up. See, that's not the head of the church. So what a church practices must be in His book. It must be. Because that's where the decisions are made. He's the head, see? I want you to see that with me. And we want to be pretty simple. You don't have to understand it. What we need to understand is a church. If you want a church that's not ever going to fail, and I know the gates of hell won't prevail against it, but there are local churches that struggle with this. And people like me that do. But this, if you see God as the head, and you will trust Him as the truth of God in His Word, and you use that as your guide in your life, and you obey Him, then you will never fail. Why? Because Christ is the head. See? That's what I want us to see too. That he is the one. He is the one that empowers us. That, you know, you can walk out, you can go down to Tybee and walk out in that ocean far as you want to go. As long as your head's above water, you're not going to drown. See, Christ is our head. And that's why with him, God has promised to freely give us all things. Now, it might not be exactly what we thought was coming or going or not getting, but it's always right because it's from God. And what doctrines we teach need to be from the head, Christ. Not only that, we need to leave the results to God. See, this God's, he's ahead. And you know, every Sunday morning, just about, I stand down there and I give you an invitation if you want to join the church. We haven't had much of that lately. We haven't. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go out and make some hot dogs and have peanut butter and pizza. Maybe we can get some people to come in here and join this church. You don't change the church because of culture. You don't start putting fake music and smoke on the stage and dressing up in certain ways to entertain people in God's church. What we need to be is so humble and in awe with him. We need to say, oh Lord, it's not about me, it's not about us, it's about you. And worshiping God. But see, the thing is, we can decide where to worship and when, but we have no right to serve, make a choice on how. That's God. Because he's in charge of that. We just need to be humbled and before him in all that he does in our lives. And again, he's doing something all the time. I don't know what's coming in your life and mine, but it's coming. And it's coming from God. But as long as you see him as the head, you know what's going to happen? One day, we're going to end this struggle. Two things are going to happen. We're going to die physically, or Christ is coming the second time. All that struggle, this flesh and spirit, is going to be over. But until then, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to remind us every day that God, you're the head. You don't have to decide anything. You let God decide it. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make a bit of sense, does it? But Christianity is a thinking religion. Christ said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you know where you get your thoughts? From God. Now the devil will pat some in there too, if you want that even. But if God has changed your heart, they won't have to make a nest there. They have no fellowship. Light and darkness has no fellowship. So really, as we close this little sermon, I think about this. You know, you ask the question, well, is God your head? Have you seen God's head? You might ask it this way. Do you love Jesus Christ? Is he the treasure of your life? Does everything you do, every thought, does it matter what he thinks about it? If you answer the answer that you are a child of God. Because God has given you that. Doesn't mean you don't ever doubt. I know I do. But thank God we don't stay there. He is the head. You know, a two-headed being would kind of be a monster, wouldn't it? I heard a man say one time who was asked how it was that he and his wife got along so good all the time. And he said, well, when we got married, we made this agreement that I would let her make all the minor decisions and I would make the major ones. And he said, so far we hadn't had any major ones to make. If we're going to get along with God, and that's really about our life in Christ, a fellowship with him, you understand, let him make all decisions.
He's good at it. He's perfect. He knows His wisdom, His love, and mercy. Let's bow together. Lord, we thank You for the glory of this beautiful day, for the songs we've heard and the testimonies we've heard spoken by Rosemary and Jeff, and the songs and the children's service. Thank You, Lord, for this day of grace. Thank You for our veterans. Thank You, Lord, for our freedom in our country. But thank You, Lord, mostly for the freedom that we have in Christ. Lord, continue to make us slaves to Your righteousness. There's really nothing else we want to do, even though, Lord, we struggle. The devil comes around and tempts us with things that we think would make us happy, and we end up making a mess of everything. But we thank You, Lord, for redemption, that You have reconciled us to the perfect holiness that You are, and that You don't see our failures. You see Christ, the head. Lord, help us to live a life in a heads-up array. Help us, Lord, to understand how You count heads, that we will always understand that You're counting Christ's righteousness, not ours, for we have none. And that, Lord, we can face head on all the heartbreaks, decisions, all the dilemmas of our life and of others that we love, knowing that, Lord, You are the source. You are the head. You are our refuge. Help us to look unto You and be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.